I declare the meeting open at 5:31 PM. I welcome councillors, management, members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. Could I ask that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting? We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council business team after the meeting. The agenda comprises two reports from committee, neither of which are confidential, and 11 reports from management, eight of which are confidential, and there is one item of general business. We've received apologies from councillors Ong and Watts. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest, as defined in the Local Government Act 1989, in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a council to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting 48, held on Tuesday the 31st of May? Thank you, Councillor Wood. Seconded. Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Any matters arising from those minutes? No items of correspondence have been received in accordance with the Council's conduct of meetings. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items 6.4 and 6.5? In which case, there are two reports from committee. Could I call on Councillor Mayne, as Chair of the Finance and Governance Portfolio of Future Melbourne, to present agenda item 5.1?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Item 5.1 is the 2016-17 Annual Plan and Budget. The purpose of this report is to adopt the 2016-17 Annual Plan and Budget in accordance with the requirements of the Local Government Act. And I'd like to move a slightly amended recommendation, which now appears on the screen. And is there a seconder for that?
I'm happy to second it. Thank you.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. So just a few comments. Tonight we reach the end of our very lengthy budget process, which started with the release of the draft budget in the first week of May, went through a lengthy public submissions and consultation process. We had our special committee meeting responding to the submissions, and then we finish up tonight with the formal adoption of our full 2016-17 budget. I guess the noteworthy item on the screen there is that we are proposing an additional $2 million allocation tonight in operational expenditure to be made available for homelessness-related projects and services. That's not a specific allocation, that's a general allocation in the area of homelessness. And as we grapple with this issue as it emerges, there is a budget allocation, an additional budget allocation of $2 million that is available to be deployed appropriately as specific projects and services arise in the coming financial year. So I think it's quite an important, albeit late, amendment to the budget and a very meaningful commitment that the councillors are making tonight in order to deal with this issue going forward. In total, I'd like to thank also the officers for their very hard work in putting together this 213-page document, spending more than $400 million. The finances of the council are in good health. There's a underlying surplus projected in the documents of $14.2 million. That would come down by $2 million with the additional homelessness allocation. But all up, we still are in good health. When we get to the 10-year financial plan later on, we will see that there is some big spending capital projects in the pipeline down the track. So we will be stretched financially. But at the moment, as we sit here today, we are debt-free, in a good position. We've fallen into line with rate capping at 2.5%. And in this fourth and final year of this council term, I think we've brought down a responsible budget that we can all be proud of. Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. We've said it before, but this is a very good fourth-year budget about growth, prosperity, livability, the things we pride ourselves on. I think it's very responsible. Programs and services around $400 million, an increase of about $13.6 million on the year before. But I think the impressive thing is the $107 million on infrastructure in our city. I'll talk in a moment about the extra $2 million, but an underlying surplus of $12.2 million is still a very healthy surplus. I think the remarkable story is not so much the continuing spend of the $400 million a year. It is the fact that I think that this council has spent more on infrastructure investment than any city council before. And when you add to that the QVM project, you've got quite a remarkable record over the last 4 years. So we spend about $56 million on our programs and services for young people, age, children, families, people with disabilities, sport, recreation, and that's where the extra $2 million will come in for homeless people. It's something that I want to praise all councillors for. I think this is probably something because our management are prudent in how we allocate our money, that perhaps they would not have felt comfortable in recommending to us. This is a councillor-led initiative, and I think I can say that all councillors have supported this quite wholeheartedly. It's not just an arrow in the air. It is to say, let's go out and look at what more we can do, given things like our street count recently and the interest that all councillors have shown in doing something for our most vulnerable people. But equally, it's important to promote business and economic development, and there's around $45 million on that. Arts and culture, we've prided ourselves on that as a city council. That's around $15 million this year. But also, you know, expanding childcare at Lady Huntingfield, greening laneways, which is a project dear to all of our hearts, new bike lanes, and then, you know, not so sexy but necessary stuff like nearly $9 million on flood mitigation is an important part of the budget. And we keep spending on roads and pedestrian safety. People keep telling us this is the core business of local government. The people who talk rubbish roads and recreation, by the way, as being the core business of local government, have not read the Local Government Act, which actually gives us a much broader remit than that. But that's an important thing as well. And then major street improvements and new open space as well. I think for all of us, the thing that we're very proud of is our hard work on Queen Victoria Market. And I look forward to coming announcements there. The important thing there, I think the next important thing is business continuity. You know, how do we maintain the livelihoods of those people at the market while we go through this remarkable renewal? And critical to that will be the Munro site redevelopment. Could I also thank councillors? This has been a very long process coming to its culmination tonight. It's been a remarkably consistent effort. Particularly can I thank portfolio holders for their input in what are the priorities in their areas, which I think have all been fed into this budget. Also, of course, our CEO and our directors, and particularly, of course, Fu. Fu, you and your team, I think, have outdone yourselves this year. Our modelling has got more and more sophisticated, our dollars more and more precise, and I think you've done a remarkable job this year in giving us the balanced budget we need in order to complete the work that we promised that we would do 4 years ago when we came together. So thank you for helping us to find ways to deliver our programs and services more efficiently. Thank all councillors for the work that they have done in their portfolio areas, and I certainly commend the budget, even with this quite extraordinary addition to it, which nevertheless, in the current climate, I think shows the nimbleness and flexibility that perhaps only cities can offer in their budgets, as apart from state or federal budgets. You know, this is something that responds to a need in our community that we've all been a part of, and I just want to thank all councillors, the portfolio holder, Councillor Foster, but all councillors for this addition to the budget of $2 million for homelessness-related projects. Further contribution to the budget? And Councillor Oak.
I have a question for the mover and seconder. Yes. I'm not sure if Councillor Foster was going to pick this up, but I just wonder if we need to add in the homelessness accommodation-related projects. Is that the... I don't know.
I'm comfortable it's okay. Covered by that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the intention, but I'm comfortable with how it is. Okay. Councillor Foster?
I might make a brief comment, Lord Mayor. I just wanted to echo some of your comments as well, that I think the additional $2 million that we've committed here in 4.1 puts this council in a position, and in a very good position, of being able to finally say that the most disadvantaged people in our city will not be forgotten by this council, and that this council is committed to doing whatever we can to improve their situation and to maximise the opportunities that we do have to find pathways out of homelessness, and programs, services, and certainly accommodation for homeless people is a key way to do that. It's what the sector, the welfare sector, represents to me routinely, and it's what I've been feeding back to councillors. So I would like to echo the Lord Mayor's comments and the thanks he's issued to all councillors in supporting my efforts to have this in. It does speak volumes for what this council represents, and I know it'll be very well received, not just in the welfare sector, but obviously by the homeless people we see on our streets every day.
Further contribution, Councillor Pinner-Mortimer.
Lord Mayor, I want to echo your comments, but also say that if Council can work hard towards bringing on two or three partners on board to maximise and to maybe even double the $2 million, that would be really a tremendous way forward in finding pathways out of homelessness.
Yeah. Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to conclude debate? Okay, so I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Could I now call on Councillor Leppard as Deputy Chair of the Planning Portfolio to present Agenda Item 5.2.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I've suddenly not had access to the script, but I present the report as it was recommended to us from the Future Melbourne Committee, and I move the recommendation in the report.
Happy to second it. Councillor Leppard, do you wish to speak to it?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, I don't need to reiterate the debate that occurred at Future Melbourne Committee in June. That was an uncontroversial debate, and the recommendation was made to us without amendment, so I refer members of the public to the audio of that debate.
No further contribution. Further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. This concludes the reports from committee to be considered in open session. There are three reports from management for consideration. The first is records of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, can I call on the council to move this motion? Deputy Lord Mayor, seconded Councillor Wood. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.1A is the 10-year financial plan. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, could I call on the council to move this motion? Councillor Mayne, is it seconded? Happy to second it. Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. This is the second year where we've produced the 10-year financial plan, so it covers the 2016 through 2026 period, which originally goes back to our people's panel, where we had our citizen jury of 43 randomly selected people come up with the first cut, if you like, of the key issues that we should focus on in our inaugural 10-year plan, and then we've been building on that ever since. So if you read the report, you can still see the good work of the citizen jury reflected in there, with all their recommendations still reflected, and quite a bit of the reporting back in the document as to how we're following some of the recommendations from our citizen jury. I guess making long-range forecasts is not an easy thing for governments. So traditionally, councils have worked through the four-year cycle, and federal and state governments often do work through the normal four-year forecast. So putting your numbers out there for 10 years is a bold forecasting exercise, but I think it's a worthwhile one to do. So you see what the long-term trends are, and you've got better information in terms of making long-term spending, recurrent and capital allocation decisions. So if you look at page 31, for instance, of the 10-year financial report, you'll see that Council's capital works program is going to significantly expand over the years ahead as we embark on projects such as the Queen Victoria Market, but also a number of other projects, which some of which are listed on page 30 for the first time, things like the Town Hall Precinct, where we are looking at spending many tens of millions of dollars on the Town Hall Precinct, both this building and potentially also on the redevelopment of Council House 1. Adam Corley has also identified flood mitigation works, Harbour Esplanade, the North Melbourne Arts Precinct, and also Bluestone repair works in Princes Bridge. So that's good to have some project names identified with the bar charts showing the big spending that is going out. I know you could possibly argue that you could be a bit more granular in your detail and put specific dollars to specific years to specific projects, but that is quite challenging in terms of actually effectively being locked into things where you haven't made the formal budget decision, you haven't made the formal council decision, and these are in the out years where you still haven't made many of your trade-off decisions. But with each passing year, we are getting more detail and we are getting better at making these long-range forecasts. So I'd like to thank the officers, once again led by our CFO, Fu, for all their hard work in putting this together. It is a large additional piece of work that comes concurrently with the budget, but released for the first time, if you like, on Friday. So it wasn't released with the draft budget. The 10-year plan has come at the end of the budget process, and it's a good document. It does outline that in a revenue-constrained environment where our rate rises are capped at CPI, that it will be challenging to not take on significant debt as we deal with this very large capital works pipeline going forward. So we will need to be efficient. We will need to be careful with our current spending. We do have strong capacity to take on debt if need be, and that is probably where we will finish up, as some of the forecasts show, that we will be going into debt over the coming 2 or 3 years as we go through that heavy spending program. But it's good to have the report. Thanks again to the officers. Thanks to the People's Panel for getting this process started. And I'm very happy to move this 10-year plan tonight.
Mostly agree with what Councillor Mayne says. The word debt sends tremors through me, but that's a different thing. I think you live within your means. That may include debt. I'm not an argument for a more granular rendition of a 10-year plan. It is bold. But it's a rolling plan, and it needs to be nimble and it needs to change depending on changing circumstance. It's a part of, I guess, a tripartite planning mechanism. We have our annual plan and budget, which we've just passed tonight, which is very specific about what we're going to spend on every single year. At the start of the term, we sit down and we do a four-year plan, which looks at what we want to achieve over the term of a single council, and we come to the end of that. So those two things come together tonight. The 10-year plan kind of sits above that and is a guide to both of those processes, but is probably more subject to change than the other two, given changing circumstances. It's very interesting that state and federal governments, really only look to the Ford estimates, which is their role, and it's a four-year role. It's no longer than that. And I think both state and federal governments, all state governments, not just this one, have struggled with infrastructure bodies, whether Infrastructure Victoria or Infrastructure Partnerships Australia, in coming to terms with what they are recommending and what the tier of government wishes to do. We are in the fortunate position of being able to bring both of them together. And that's, to me, what the 10-year plan does for us in terms of our expenditure. So I commend it also. It's come from a very, very well-managed process. It complements our existing and statutory responsibilities, but I think it leads the way in terms of what local governments could do. Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.2 is the funding proposal for the Collingwood Football Club. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, can I call on the council to move this agenda item? Councillor Wood, I'm happy to second it. Councillor Wood.
What are we?
Hang on, aren't we? Are you moving the alternative, councillor?
I'm happy to move the alternative.
Yep, thank you.
Unless someone else wishes to do so.
I'm happy to second the alternative. Okay, go ahead, councillor.
Happy to support this. Obviously, we have to get open space any way we can, and that's not a facetious statement. When you look at our reports on recreation needs across the municipality, obviously the oval scale space is the one that we're most underdone on. I think this is a good agreement which delivers on that sized open space. Obviously, our officers will work through the detail of the contracting to ensure that this is a good outcome for council, for our ratepayers, and to ensure that community clubs are getting use of this oval according to the proposal put to us by the Collingwood Football Club. There's a bit to work through in terms of the contractual details, and obviously we'll get to see that, and that's why 7.4 is a good addition. But I'm confident that our officers will work towards a really good outcome in terms of this for our city, and it delivers obviously a state-of-the-art facility that can be used with reciprocal rights for many of our existing users in the city. But again, coming back to that that oval, the size that is very difficult to deliver in a highly urbanised environment like City of Melbourne, I think we're underdone by about 12 ovals if you look at the current use, and with the projected growth that we're seeing as one of the fastest growing municipalities in Australia, this will deliver that much needed open space.
Thank you. I'm happy to agree with all of that. I think 7.4 is a useful addition. That is to say that councillors have to be happy that all of the elements that we would require are in that agreement. I must say, I actually had the pleasure of using the facilities last Saturday night at the Glasshouse. I was at a dinner for the Royal Melbourne Hospital's gala research dinner. And if that is an indication of the sort of spaces they can provide as a result of this agreement, it's not just the oval that's going to be important to us, it's the community and the other spaces that are also made available, which are going to be extremely valuable. So I'm delighted to enter into what I think is quite a groundbreaking agreement. With other clubs, we've essentially handed over $2 million, and we've done that to Richmond, Carlton and North Melbourne without any specific things, for instance, that we've noted at 7.4. We've actually just relied on those clubs to provide us with the sort of facilities that we talked about during the agreement. But that is a formal thing that has to come back to us. And I think over a 10-year period, rather than a single capital grant, that's an entirely appropriate agreement and amendment to make. Further contribution to debate?
Lord Mayor, before the debate continues, can I make a procedural suggestion to the mover and seconder and also ask a question?
Yep.
The suggestion is, just to tidy up the motion, that we delete the word endorses from the prefix and add it to 7.1. That council endorses. We don't want that council endorses, approves, endorses notes. That was the suggestion. Great. And
you're going to add the apostrophe to clubs in 7.3?
Go ahead. Let's see what else we can do before I get to the end of the sentence. The question is, given that part one is endorsing and given that part two is approving the finalisation of this agreement, is it understood that part four will include a potential call-in provision, which means that parts 7.1 and 2 won't be acted on until that process has concluded?
That is my absolute understanding, as is our standard procedure. I think the answer to that is unequivocally yes.
Thank you.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Roke.
I support the recommendation, and I agree it is an innovative approach to the sorely needed open space in our municipality. And as Councillor Wood has said, we have a significant lack of game size ovals for a range of sporting codes, not just AFL, but having a pitch the size that we need for multiple clubs wanting access to facilities like that in our municipality we definitely need it, but I think it's important that we understand what's in the agreement before it's signed off, mainly because it's a 10-year agreement. That's why I agree with 7.4, that we do need to understand, what happens if in 2 years' time the community doesn't have access to the facilities that we've been promised. I'm sure that's not going to be the case whatsoever. In fact, they're going to love the ability to use such spaces as this, but and especially our clubs. But I think it's important at the end of our four-year term, as we move into another council term, that we're not signing up to something that we're not completely clear about. So I think that's important. But that aside, it really is an exciting opportunity to reduce the threat. In particular, and this has been discussed when we've been talking about this agreement, reducing the threat to our passive open space. We've got amazing parks and gardens in our municipality, and they're often eyed off as, why don't we just put another sporting oval here? And you're forgetting that actually passive recreation is just as important as active recreation, and very often that passive recreation is more so by our residents and by people working in the municipality, whereas often the clubs, and there's nothing wrong with this because, you know, I've played football in Maribyrnong and I don't live there either, but, you know, often the clubs that use our facilities are not necessarily residents and or workers in the municipality. Again, not an issue with that, but passive recreation is important for those particular users. So I think that this provides some relief of that pressure as well. So I look forward to see the agreement and all of the benefits that we've been promised.
Further speaker to debate? Councillor Mayne.
I also strongly support this innovative concept where we're not spending tens of millions of dollars building facilities, but we're simply paying an access charge, if you like, on behalf of our community. So I'm very much hoping that the take-up rate will be very strong amongst our aquatic members in North Melbourne and in City Baths and elsewhere. And $300,000 a year for 10 years is not that much when you think about the cost of capital in building new facilities. And they're worth $75 million, these facilities, so they're world-class, and I do hope that there is a strong take-up rate. Just like to make a couple of comments about 7.3, where we have, I guess, introduced into the conversation the hope that Collingwood can exit its reliance on poker machine revenue to fund its operations. As a Tier 1 member of the Alliance for Gambling Reform at City of Melbourne, we're very much committed to trying to reduce the damage caused by high-intensity poker machines, and the fact that 9 of our 10 AFL clubs in Victoria have them, with revenues of close to $100 million a year, from them is not a great thing for our community, given the damage that poker machines do. So it's good. I was very pleased to read in the Herald Sun today a page 58 lead headline, Community Punt, Pies to Quit Pokies in 10 Years. And quoting from our report, where indications from management were that the Collingwood does have a 5 to 10 year plan to replace those revenues with other revenues. And I must say, I did find it a little bit strange to have that juxtaposed with the community notice on page 46 in the public notices section of the same edition of the Herald Sun that Collingwood was applying for 10 extra poker machines at their Coaches and Horses pub in Ringwood. So at the same time, you've got a headline saying Pies to Quit Pokies in 10 years, you've got Pies apply for 10 more pokies. So my understanding is that maybe that's an exit plan where if you sell the pub and you've got more licences, you get more money. And they may still very much hope they still will be getting out, but not great to see an application to apply for intensifying the pokies at one of their venues at the same time as we're having a conversation about reducing that. I look forward to seeing the full contract. I think that it is unusual, so any sort of termination clauses in there will be important to understand how those mechanisms work if there's not a very large take-up or if suddenly the pies buy another 10 pokies venues or something like that, then you will need to understand how the agreement will work contractually, given it is a long 10-year agreement worth multiple millions of dollars. But all up, I'm hopeful. I think there's goodwill on both sides. It's an innovative agreement. Look forward to seeing the detail which management comes back with, and look forward to seeing great community take-up of the facilities and hopefully also Collingwood transitioning to being a pokies-free football powerhouse in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you. Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion of those in favour. That is unanimous. Thank you. This concludes the reports from management to be considered in open session. There is one item of general business for consideration. That's the notice of motion from Councillor Mayne regarding leave of absence. And I call on Councillor Mayne to move the motion standing in his name.
So moved.
I'm happy to second it, noting that I reserve the right to speak against it, depending on what Stephen Mayne says. Councillor Mayne.
Just a procedural motion, Lord Mayor. I'm contesting the federal election on Saturday. I wanted to, as Chair of Finance, complete the budget process before taking leave. So it's a bit unusual to take leave 4 days out from the election, but I made the decision to see the budget process through. We've reached that point now, so from midnight tonight until midnight next Monday, I'm seeking approval from the colleagues to take leave so I can be 100% focused on the making Menzies matter. So thank you.
Thank you. I'll just reserve the right to speak on that. Is there a further speaker to this motion? In that case, I'll put the motion of those in favour. That is unanimous. Thank you. This concludes the items of general business to be considered in open session. Are there any matters of urgent proposed business? In that case, could I call on the council to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public to consider items of confidential business? Councillor Wood seconded. Councillor Pinder-Mortimer. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous. Thank you. Could I thank members of the public for their interest in attendance and declare the open meeting closed to the public at 6 p.m.